Well, this is a new start to an old thing, and I want to call this the beginning of the unfolding revelations as of 9/23/18. Unfolding revelations as of 9/23/18. We're talking about the thing that we find in the book of in 1 Corinthians 14 especially, and I read that chapter many times, but as I read it today, I realized something that I hadn't realized, and I was just telling Ken about it. That's the fact that that chapter is showing us the difference between prophecy and tongues and interpretation. It's not even necessarily labeling the tongues for personal edification, although it does tell us about that. But there's two applications of tongues, and there's several applications of prophecy. But the one that is used in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians basically has to do with the prophecy that edifies the body, that builds us up and gives us revelation. And so, recently, I've come, to the realization that the ones that are in our body that have been listening, are not the ones just that are here in Chippewa, but wherever they are, that have been listening to the scriptures, are beginning to build up a prophecy foundation, a prophetic foundation in their own systems. And so, as I have been listening to the different ones in the body that have been exhorting and so forth. And I thought, you know what? They're getting the same understanding and the same revelations that I get. And so that's why it tells us in here, it says, so what we have, we're God is developing prophets in us. And so it says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge, which shows us the condition of each one of these guys that we or ladies, whoever, that we refer to as a prophet, because if their heart is not right, they're not going to let anybody judge them. They're going to say, "I'm a prophet," "I'm a priest," "I'm a apostle." So nobody's going to judge me. But didn't Jesus say that he that would be the greatest, let him become the least? And if I wash your feet, what should you do to the rest of the body? What should be your approach? So he said, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. Now listen to what I began to see in these scriptures. And if anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Now, in the first verse of this chapter, it says, desire or follow after charity, love, go after love, then desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Prophecy being the objective and the goal. And I think what's happening is we're developing us. You know, back in the time of Elijah, there was in Elisha, when Elisha had crossed the river and after Elijah was taken up in the chariot. And as he crossed the river, he took his mantle and he flung it down at the water, and the water parted and he went across. And you know what? The first things he met when he came across? The school of prophets. Remember that? Mm-hmm. There was a school of prophets. And I thought, how can you have a school of prophets? How do you learn how to, I'm thinking of this, of prophecy as being this supernatural thing where you speak a prophecy of the future. You're given, what's the word I want? It's a supernatural thing, and you speak something that you don't understand yourself. You say this is going to happen in a certain time of minutes, and so I'm thinking of prophecy in that vein. That is not what it tells us in 1 Corinthians 14. And I encourage you, read it over and over and over and over, and you begin to see that prophecy is something that is a revelation. It brings understanding. It causes people to know things. Listen to it again. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy, one by all of you, one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted.
What verse is that?
That's verse 31.
Oh, it jumps over there. Okay.
See? And then it says, of course, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, but so that you may all prophesy, one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And so what was beginning to happen, there's a difference between testimony and prophecy, or testimony and exhortation. And a prophecy is actually, it's a type of exhortation. Are you following what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just telling us that the prophecy and interpretation are the same thing. But if you heard it tongues and interpretation, if you heard an interpretation in the church, it would be something that was clear. You know what I mean? It's something that you understand. It's made clear. Where tongues, you don't understand. And that's why Paul said, I would rather speak 5 words of my understanding than 10,000 words with an unknown tongue, because people are not going to understand it. And so...
14:3.
Pardon?
14:3.
Yeah, that, I was going to say that too.
What's that?
In 14:3 it says it real plain too.
Yeah. Yeah, he that prophesies speaks unto men unto edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Yeah.
So that's what it's supposed to. So what's happening to us? We are developing, in a way, a school of the prophets, but it's not by what I have understood.
Mm-hmm.
We're beginning to understand the Word of God. And he that understands will instruct many. And so there is something major and wonderful that's happening to us. And that's why when we've had these, I brought these messages, and then after I've thought, after the message is the real message. I brought something, and God may have used it. But what I was hearing coming from the ones that have taken it in is what should have been taped. And that's what caused me to come to this conclusion. The time has come that we all get involved. And so, don't hesitate.
Maybe you should explain that what you've changed.
Yeah, instead of me just bringing it, well, like we do on Sunday mornings with our exhortations and our testimonies, well, they're not really testimonies. They used to be testimonies. They're not anymore. They're not testimonies, they're exhortations. And these exhortations are causing growth in the body. They're causing things to happen. So what we want to do is I want to get the rest of the prophets involved. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn. I learn major things from you guys. Every Sunday morning I come home and I say, I would have never thought of that. Well, of course I never would have thought of it. Because God didn't give it to me, he gave it to you. And so, why did he give it to you? Well, I'm one of the recipients. I'm one of them that gained and gain from that what was said. This morning, I gained so much from what I heard. That's what a church service is supposed to be. How is it, brethren, when you come together? You got one man, and he stands up, and he tells you everything, and now you go home and say, well, what a wonderful man that was. Well, guess what? We have just glorified a man. Maybe subtly, but we have just done that. And you know what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:29? No flesh shall be gloried in his presence. Shall glory in his presence. Have I ever done that? Lots of times. But guess what? I don't want to. because I'm beginning to see how awesome he is and how not so awesome I am. I'm starting to build a comparison. I'm starting to see it. Because the scriptures that are sharper than any two-edged sword are beginning to disclose in me and gets revealed to me who I am and who he is. And I tell you what, we're not in the same page. He created us. And we're very fortunate to be his creation. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, I tell you what, I'm beginning to understand that. None of us deserve to be saved. Mm-mm. Because we have we have disobeyed him. We have sinned. We have come short of his glory. We have no right. And so he doesn't have to include us, but he did. So anyway, feel free to interject. I will.
But I think one of the things that you're bringing out is that maybe people have a wrong concept around what a prophet is. I mean, 14:3 talks about prophesying unto each other for edification and exhortation and comfort. A lot of settings in the Bible refer to prophets basically telling the future. And there's a distinction there. A lot of the prophets that were used throughout the Old Testament came and were either interpreting a dream or telling what was going to happen. But here it clearly says that prophesying is also done for the edification of the body. So edification and exhortation, encouragement.
Yeah.
And so to me, I thought that was important to make that distinction of what you might consider a prophet.
Right. So. Well, and in the Old Testament, prophets also, remember the prophets were the ones who were summoned to go to David. They were the ones who the word of the Lord to you is. And it wasn't necessarily a foretelling. It was, the Lord wants me to tell you, and he used a prophet, and it refers to Jesus as the prophet. And in the New Testament, his ministry was as a prophet to us. And up until, yesterday maybe, or a couple days ago, my idea of a prophet is, if you think about a prophet, or the ministry of prophecy was that person who would interpret the tongues. And it was someone where there was this anointing and that spoke through them, or if it was a prophet, someone who would tell the future, until all of a sudden we're starting to look at what it says about a prophet. It's not new, but it's new to what I had always thought. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing it just like when we talked about last Sunday about the testimony of Jesus was the spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of thinking that through. It's like, and it's what he spoke was the word of God. And that was, it appears to be, that's what prophecy is. And it's just, it's something that I had never seen before. But all of a sudden, it's not just the foretelling. But I think we've kind of just put it into that tote bag of it's just foretelling when it isn't. Speaking the word of God, and you circling back around to Old Testament prophets, some did foretell, but many of them, they came to David and they told him, this is what the word of the Lord said.
Mm-hmm. I back in Deuteronomy, is it Deuteronomy 18? Yeah, 18. God told Moses, he says, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you. Speaking of Jesus, he was called a prophet. Mm-hmm. And it says in Hebrews 1:1, it said, God who at sundry times and in divers manners, meaning in different ways, spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And remember what what Peter said. He said that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. So this whole word is a prophecy. But it's an understandable prophecy. It's not, it's warning us about things that in the end times and so forth, which are going to happen at some point. But like the Beatitudes, those are prophecies. What are those things that Jesus spoke? The parables. The parables are prophecies. That even though we might not, when we first hear them, it might not make sense. The secret is found in John 1, 31 and 32. That's the secret of the God's Word. Hear it until the Holy Spirit is allowed to make sense. And that's what we've been doing, not because we understood, but because we kept doing it, we're starting to understand. We didn't understand to do it, but because we're doing it, we're starting to understand. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, and that's what we've been doing, that makes you my disciple. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that's what's happening. We're starting to be made free. I'm getting free. Not totally, but I'm a lot freer than I was. And I appreciate that. I appreciate what God is doing in us. And the thing is, we are so far from perfect and so far from being where we want to be that we get discouraged and we think, what are my chances? As a matter of fact, I didn't. 18 years ago, I didn't even have a chance.
Chances without God are zero. So, chances without God are zero.
Yeah.
I think too, what happens is certain people, that have come in the role of the prophet, like Shelley was saying, to either pray over somebody to say something or to predict, then they get kind of built up. But in verse 31, it says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." That's the whole gist of what Keith was saying, is this isn't just to make some one person feel good. This is for the edifying of the church and the comfort of the church. Mm-hmm. And it's like it says, it's for learning and for exhortation, comfort. So it says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." So, and then it repeats it over here again, that's the whole spirit of it, is for us to be being edified, to be coming into revelation of what the truth of the word really is, And it's not relegated to just one person who picks up that supposedly office, it's not. It's whenever you come together, whoever has. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of strange things that enter in my mind, during the week. And I want to interject a couple of them. Let's not forget this and let's get back to it. But for instance, people that call themselves, that they say that they are... They call themselves full gospel. There's a lot of churches that they say, that we're full gospel. You know what? That is really being brassy and bold. Huh?
So what does that really mean? Definition of full gospel.
That means that they got the whole thing.
Oh.
It's no wonder that they don't want and to be taught. Because what they believe is the truth and the full truth and nothing but the truth,
And if I'm not mistaken, aren't a lot of them that are full gospel?
Yeah, they are.
Don't believe in tongues and interpretation?
Yeah.
Which is, this is sitting right here putting that right around the fact of it's making a distinguish. So it means both are supposed to be there,
mm-hmm.
but in the proper manner.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the other thing. Most or a lot of these full gospel churches are Trinitarian. They're full gospel, but they cannot prove the Trinity from the scriptures. It's like, wait a minute here. That's kind of, they're using the term pretty loosely, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is apostolic faith. Do you ever think of what that means?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the faith of the apostles.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really see a lot of that going on, somehow.
Yeah.
See how loosely we get? We're pretty loose in our name of our church.
Natural man and man tries to come up with really good-sounding labels.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not, you know, it helps tough you up.
Yeah. According to the dictionary, and that's really not necessarily a good spiritual source, but according to the dictionary, in the New Testament, a prophet is an inspired preacher, an interpreter of God's will. One who to speak, or a prophet is one, the word means to speak, or a person who speaks for God, and one who is under divine guidance. But anyway, that's what it says in the dictionary, which I think is pretty good.
Except for the one speaks for God, it would be better that God speaks to.
Yeah. I mean that's how they interpret it. Well, we don't really see that office in operation. We don't really see it, and one of the reasons is because people are not really that familiar with 1 Corinthians 14. That's the only chapter really that defines and gives us a picture of prophecy and tongues and so forth. And you know what? I learned twice as much today by reading it as I knew before I started reading it. I started to understand, and I said this before, that that whole chapter is separating tongues from the prophecy. And I lost it here.
Well,
back to it.
You can have someone speak in tongues, it says. In fact, you can have two or three if there's an interpretation.
If there's an interpretation.
And then you will get the prophesy, you will get the prophecy side of it, mm-hmm. you know, interpreted. But if there isn't an interpreter, it says be quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, stop. I mean, stop. Don't keep. You know.
Right. And if everybody is listening to the word of God, that's where you can correct each other, because it's assuming that you're listening to the word.
Yes.
And that's part of that safety, but it's assuming, you know, I think of churches that are built on the pure word of God without all the extra, I think this, I think that. When you boil it down and you just have the word of God, you've got a house that's built on the rock, as opposed to a house that's built on the sand that can easily, you know, fall. But when you've got this, you're building it based on Jesus being the plumb line, you know, of each rock,
yeah.
you know, or the cornerstone. You've got it built properly. When that happens and you have people listening to the word of God, you have prophets who are able to let one prophesy, let another prophesy, and what does it say about, you know, correction, if one, you know, corrects another, it's assuming that each one is listening to the word And I think that's where the church can be edified, and you can learn because you've got that as a safety, and that's what's going on. But in most churches, you don't have that. You have one person who reads, and everyone, you know, shows up, and there's no way you could have people correcting one another because, you know, first of all, they would slug each other. But this is based on, you know, let's be honest here, but based on when you have that premise that you're listening to the Word, you're reading the Word, and that has become that rock-solid foundation, from there, that's where you can grow. And if that's what prophesying means, you can see where that is, where the true edification is going to happen. And that's what's happened, you know, after the messages have been extremely edifying. But you do get to a point where you're learning, and it is time for many prophets to speak the word of God.
The other foundation all this is based on is that you all come to the realization that the Holy Spirit is the one who has to teach you as you listen to this word.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That you're not trying to learn it by your own mind studying it or whatever. That's the distinction that we've kind of come to.
Yeah.
Happened that the Lord has brought us to with this group, and mm-hmm. I'm sure he's brought many others, other places. But, mm-hmm. you know, you got to kind of have that because, like you say, otherwise there'd be pandemonium because,
yes,
you know, for the most part, yes, we probably have correction, but it's not major corrections because we're all of one mind, starting to be all of one mind to a certain degree, that if there is something, it's just fine-tuning kind of correction, you know.
And I think we're also very honest and open about the fact that we think we have some revelation,
but not all.
Right.
And if there's something that you got a glimmer of and you share for the edification and the comfort of the group, the body, but you say, but I don't feel that I've got this completely yet, God has revealed it. You know, one thing that's been kind of sitting on my mind, you know, people want to say God's really moving there because look at all the spiritual gifts that are in action. And yet, you know, as we're talking tonight, I was thinking, not a lot of tongues in our group, but an awful lot of interpretation/revelation is going on. And so it's not that one that God has to talk through a person to get us to hear something because we're not in His Word. Because we're always in His Word, the Holy Spirit is working in a way that we kind of don't go through tongues and then an interpretation. The Spirit just comes and reveals. And I'm sitting here going, well, you know, it's very clear that there's tongues and interpretations, but in our body and in the way God has been working, there hasn't been a lot of tongues. There's just been a lot of Holy Spirit moving.
Mm-hmm.
And you think back in other settings and you go, well, what was different? And, you know, I used to, you know, back in the good old days, you know, the old, you know, fire and brimstone days where someone would get in tongues and then someone would interpret it and the hush would come over the congregation and, you know, God is now talking to us. And I go, you know, we kind of move past that in the sense that God's talking to us all the time. And we don't have to do it. He's not doing it through tongues. Not that he won't.
Right.
But it just occurred to me as we were talking mm-hmm. tonight, sharing that, it's like, you know, I would certainly not, I wouldn't accept on the face of it that God's not moving in our midst and there's not spiritual gifts that are going on. Because I would counter, no. You're all miracles because you're all changing by the Word of God. But not so much through a tongues and an interpretation. Just that the Holy Spirit is moving and revealing.
Mm-hmm. Not to say that many of us aren't using the gift personally as it says,
right,
to edify ourselves, because right. I have right. been yes. using that way more than I ever did.
Yep, but, me too.
But, you know,
me
it's,
too. Yep.
But it's for the personal edification. And, right. and mm-hmm. But when we come together, like you're saying, it's true. Mm-hmm. We haven't really had that. And I thought at times, gee, we might, are we missing out? But you know what? Now that you say it like you did, no, we're not missing out. Not at all.
I would say just the opposite.
Yeah.
Kind of like, God says, okay, you're ready. And here you go.
Yeah.
And you're going to get this, and you're going to get this, and you're going to get this, and you're going to get this. And then we're so faithful that we share that. And we have the platform to share that.
Mm-hmm. It, yes.
Sometimes
that's
we share all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
We're not, you know.
Yeah, wouldn't it be terrible that if you just came and sat there and waited for something to derp?
Yeah.
That would not be good.
Yeah, no. But you're right. But you bring up a great point. I find myself, when I'm praying, I pray in tongues a lot. Because mm-hmm. I know there's protection in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's me. And then if God but gives me an interpretation, if he gives me an interpretation of that, or he reveals something, and, you know, pray to be. But it just occurred to me, as much as we are constantly intaking the word, not so many, you know, congregation-wide tongues, but an awful lot of spirit.
Exactly. That's good. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:5, he said, I would that you all spoke with tongues, but I would rather that you prophesy. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you all prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edification.
Yeah.
And that's happening.
Amen.
Like never before.
Right.
Exactly. Amen.
Yeah, I receive so much benefit from what you guys have to say. I'm thinking, if they receive anything anywhere near that from me, we're on the goal.
Oh, yes.
And we're on the way.
Oh, amen. Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Yeah, no, that's not...
You know, that's... you really hit it on the head about... See, we don't... There isn't a great need for tongues to be interpreted because we're prophesying already. We're, you know, like Paul says, it would be greater that you all prophesy. Well, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
We're edifying everyone.
Well, we're prophesying by speaking understanding. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
So if the whole church is possibly able to prophesy, it says you may all prophesy. Are we talking just about the prophets? Are we talking about the whole church? I'm thinking we're talking about everybody.
Right.
And but wouldn't there be conditions under that? You're not going to if you don't know God's word. What are you prophesy? What are you going to say? It'll be false doctrine.
Right.
Well, that's right.
So the only way you could be a real prophet is to get that word in you. So that's what comes out. You know what I'm saying? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Yeah.
So there has to be a foundation
right.
for the prophet.
Right.
And if it's anything besides God's word, it's false.
Yeah.
And we'll all check that. Even mm-hmm. here in Corinthians 14, mm-hmm. it says that.
Yeah.
You're subject to the, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 29. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge.
Yeah.
I mean, we're actually asked to be accountable to make sure
yeah.
that we don't get sidetracked.
So if you're not of that word of God, and you're just, then you're going to get stopped.
Yes.
Right.
And we're responsible to do that.
And yeah. we're accountable to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And that kind of would stop what I think a lot of people fear maybe by what they might have heard us up until now. Well, that everybody will be getting up and they'll just be sitting. No, because
well,
God says you should be in order.
Yeah.
And
Well, a few years ago, and you might remember me telling this, there was that website, and one of the Bible college teachers made a comment on there when he and I were having a little bit of a dialogue on that website, when I was just sharing, you know, we're all listening, and God is, just the Holy Spirit is revealing His Word. And one of them said, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
But if you look at it from traditional church, if you don't go to 1 Corinthians 14, you just take what we know church to be, you're absolutely right. That does sound dangerous.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, churches tends to attract them. You know what I'm saying? And so you get just all types. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It can attract people who, anyway, it does sound dangerous, except for I'm excited for this particular person. I would love someday to be able to, I would love to be able to come back and have them listen to this.
You know, it's interesting because I know they've commented that from the general church, whatever, has said, well, you couldn't have that. You'd have everybody speaking false or confused. And years ago, I come to the realization of, then my question is, well, then why are there 110 denominations if you're also orderly?
Yeah.
You know, with the Word of God. Why would there be that many different denominations? You know, so that's a bad argument from that point of view. Right, I mean, it's probably the wrong kind of fear because it's not based on truth. Because if you were in the Word of God, you'd see that when the Word of God is being taught by the Holy Spirit, people begin to be unified.
Well, and look what has happened here. And I may have stepped out, maybe you just said it, but look what has happened here. You don't have this scary, oh my goodness, everyone's, you know, you've got loose cannons running everywhere. Instead, there's the edifying of each other, and we're learning, mm-hmm, as we're all listening, when the Holy Spirit is teaching. And I can't help but think that comment is based on unbelief.
Ignorance, yeah.
Ignorance that the Holy Spirit, it says it all over, but you know, I'm not going to point fingers because I sure didn't see it after 5 years of Bible college. You know what I'm saying?
No, we didn't either.
And so, yeah, we didn't see it. But when you see the Holy Spirit working like it is and the changes in the lives, instead of puffing up, it's all the grace. It reminds me of the two guys that came to pray or came to Jesus and went to pray. And the one, oh, I'm so thankful that I'm not like this one here. And then there's the other prayer. The guy couldn't lift his eyes.
Yeah.
I think when you understand, you know, what have you been given? Or what do you have that hasn't been given to you? When you understand that it's all coming and none of it you can do on your own. But coming, seeking the truth, and that's how you're taking it in. There's a humility that comes with it. Even though it's been called judgment, there is a judgment attached to it, but I don't think it's a judgment of the person. I think it's a judgment of the words that you speak.
Right.
And it's like that question, where'd you hear that? Where'd you hear that? I think it's important, where'd you hear that? And that's one of the things that we judge as well. When the Holy Spirit is teaching you, as you're listening to His Word, and the words are spirit in their life, you do start judging because you hear the voice, you know the voice of Jesus, as opposed to the voice of something else. You do start hearing that. And again, it's not a judgment. It just, you know, you call up on the phone, I know your voice.
Mm-hmm.
I know who it is because I've heard it so much. And when you hear it in there, you hear it. Yeah. And that's where part of the judging comes from, or the correcting and the edifying. And I'm challenged, even though that I'm far away and listen to the CDs, as I hear I can just hear the Spirit moving in each person who's talking. That's edifying. Boy, that lifts up, you know?
Yeah.
Just a little quick pointer, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
When it says this prophet, really no names involved. You know?
Right, right.
No names needed.
Yeah, yeah.
So then that's another way you can keep from being puffed up. You
right,
know?
Right.
You don't have to have your name associated with every revelation you bring, because it's not you anyway, it's God.
Right.
You know?
And I kind of find, I kind of don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, it feels muddy. It feels like mud on your shoes.
And you realize how much revelation has already been brought tonight in by, as we're getting, you know, as we're talking about the book of 1 Corinthians 14. There's hardly anybody that understands that chapter. Not that we do, mm-hmm. but we understand a lot more than we did.
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is, you read it carefully and you realize that there's a distinction between, well, actually there's two kinds of tongues. There's actually two kinds of prophecies, at least two kinds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people don't know that. And it's, and so, and then one other thing. Okay, now listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, talking about Jesus, it says, "And he that descended is the same that also ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things," talking about Christ, okay? And it says that he gave some apostles, verse 11, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Okay? So we got 110 different churches or different organizations, and each one is right. And they all have their own ideas of what truth is. And so, okay, so that what they do then is they bring about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. But they're all different. He gave these, but you know what? He didn't give these that we see. The thing that we see is not what he gave. That's what the churches have developed. They have their own apostles, they have their own prophets, they have their own evangelists and pastors and teachers. But that's not what Jesus set up. He set up something that we're able to come into some of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't set up what we see in the church. And yet I have been in lots of churches and they said, well, we have our apostles and we have our prophets and we have our our evangelists and our pastors and our teachers. I hear, you know, I've heard them. I've been through a lot of churches. Well, we have them in our church. we have the fivefold ministry in our church. And I used to think, well, how's it working for you? Like Shelley says, how's it working for you? You know what I mean? And so here's why he gave them.
Yeah.
For the perfecting of the church, or the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body without Christ. That's not what it said.
No, I don't know what it says.
No, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It has to be edified in a Christ form. Mm-hmm. You know, like that scripture that says, it's in the same chapter, maybe. It is.
But you got to keep going.
In verse 15.
You got to keep going.
It says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. See? By speaking the truth, we grow up into him. Till we all come in verse 13, in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, You see what we're beginning to see? Mm-hmm. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What have we got out here? Mm. We have every wind of doctrine conceivable. Until people are so confused. And so when they hear the truth, guess what? We're the ones, if we got the truth, we're the ones that are wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're the ones that are wrong. When I was in that, when I got saved, I was in Seattle in that church, the people were offended. And they said, well, you're becoming a Pentecostal. Why did you go join a Pentecostal church? And I'm thinking, because I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I need to join a different church. What's wrong with this church starting to get some of that? Or like the young pastor that after I, they put me on the, you know, called me on the carpet and they were upset with me and the Spirit of the Lord came on me and I told them some things. And there were people that were friends up until that meeting. And after I got all through, the young visiting minister, he says, he made a statement, he said, it was quiet. And he told him, he said, well, I don't know what this young man's got, but I suggest the rest of us get it. That's what he said. And you know, everything was nice for a while. Until my nice friend Lyle Bullinger spoke to the deacons and said, well, I think it's only fair that we know that there are people in the church that speak in tongues. Lyle. Remember him?
I do.
Yeah. He was a lawyer. Like, you know, like Charlie. But he's a lawyer. Ended up being a lawyer for the state of Washington. And he's still alive, or he was a year ago or so. He's about my age. But anyway, it's like, it's not truth, it's church. It's church. Well, we've been, you know, the church has a part of it. Well, we've been a church, we've been an organization for several hundred years. Are you trying to tell us we're wrong?
Yes, amen.
Huh?
Yes, amen, and none of that we're supposed to.
I didn't tell them they were wrong.
No, but that's where we're going to go. I
was hoping the pastor would.
I was thinking a little bit, or just dwelling a little bit on Ephesians 4:14, because there's kind of a, that we henceforth be no more children. You know, we've spent a lot of time saying, come to God as little children. But there's a statement here that says, basically, when it comes to discerning truth, God's truth, that's not the time that you come before Him saying, I'm a little child. You know, stand on what God has revealed to you. Do not let you be deceived. And whether it's the angel of light or in any other craftiness, as it goes on to say. You know, I love the Bible, but it just ties me right in knots. Because, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like, okay, I'm going to be humble and meek, and I'm going to come not knowing anything, and then it's going to say, hey, you can't be a child. Don't do this. And it's like, can't tell me to, and then you tell me not to.
Yeah, although in other cases it says, becoming mature and not no longer drinking milk.
Not milk, but meat. And yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right, of course, didn't we talk about 35 years today? So.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I just, how it puts it, do not be carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men.
Say it isn't so.
Yeah. Oh, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting.
here
what?
Where they lie in wait to deceive.
Yeah.
I mean, the trap is set.
Yeah.
Their goal is to get you.
And he's not talking about out there in the world.
No. No.
Talking about people who have said they've come into the church and now are trying, and because they haven't kept up receiving from the Spirit, are now starting to think in their own minds.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Haven't heard anything lately, so let me tell you what I think.
Yeah.
Fill in the blanks.
Not hearing anything, so I got to come up with something.
Well, and in the pastoral environment, I'm not getting anything. Well, I got to bring a message. Well, this is what I think God wants me to talk about this week.
Been there.
Yeah, well, I think anybody who's on a schedule...
Well,
trying to hold the Spirit to a schedule is kind of like, kid it around, like, okay, I got places to go. I need a little right now. keep trying to put God on my schedule instead of me on God's schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just fraught with peril. Yeah.
What words can I put in God's mouth tonight?
What did God want me to say, but he didn't tell me yet? Yeah, okay.
See, this is what's interesting, because... One man is not probably going to just keep getting and getting and getting. And that's why it's saying, let there be many.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's one of the reasons for what I want to do, what we're starting to do.
Yeah, and that, you know.
Yeah, it just opened up.
Huh?
It just opened up.
Right.
I knew this some time ago. I mentioned a little bit.
Yeah.
The last couple of weeks, it's like I'm saying, it's now or never. It's now or never. Because it's like I'm not losing input from the Holy Spirit. But it's not, I'm not the whole supply tube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a tremendous...
A little bit of it.
It takes a tremendous amount of humility, whether you want to hear it or not, to come to that place, though.
There's more to it than that. I want to go to heaven.
Right.
Oh, so the motivation is selfish. Okay.
Yes, it is a selfish motivation.
Although, I too want to... I'm right there with you, brother.
I know.
I too want to go to heaven. But,
one of the big things that has been happening to us, all of us, is the value of God's Word. We're starting to understand that it really is God's Word. This really is God's Word.
Amen.
You know that if we understand that and if we believe that, we're in a very small minority. Few there be that realize that.
The way is narrow and the door is small.
And there's a lot of churchgoers that carry this to church. I've laughed about it. There's a certain church that I'm familiar with, and I've gone and I've sat in the pews of that church for different things, and for a number of years. And I don't even know the pastor's name. I don't know much about it, but I've been there and we've been to some of their little potlucks and stuff. But I've got a charge out of it. You know, I never sat in the same place each time that we're there for some function. But ahead of me is all of these Bibles. You know what? They've never been opened, none of them.
Mm-hmm.
I opened the page. It's brand new. It doesn't have any sign of ever being opened. And I thought, what are they doing with all these Bibles? They don't even care. You know why? They don't have to, because the pastor does it all. All you do is go listen to him and believe what he tells you.
And you know what? It says doesn't it say the Word of God is mysterious? Or as there's many mysteries? Well, you know, what I realize, some of the mysteries are that until you decide that you want to know what God has to say, you know, like...
Yeah.
and you open up the word, then the first thing, I remember, like, and you said too, you, and maybe it's because you said it, so I was looking for it, but one of the, some of the first stuff I heard is, hear my word. In his word it said that. Mm-hmm. So if you don't ever go to that word, you don't realize that you're supposed to be hearing this word. This is what I want you to be with and learn from and gain from. Not church this and not pastor guy and this that. Come to my word and hear what I have to say. And then he says, you know, like in the Old Testament, hear my word. But then he says, and here is my only begotten son, hear him. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to put all my words in his mouth. And he's going to be faithful and speak every one of them and be completely in my will. And then Jesus says, and that's all I do. So he confirms that, you know, God put it all there. He's just being obedient. And he could speak it purely because he was sinless. You know?
Mm-hmm. If I would have understood 20 years ago or however long when I heard that voice, if I would have understood what I heard, but I didn't. I heard a voice and it said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. Well, wasn't I? No, I wasn't. I wasn't looking for him in the right place.
No.
But I thought I was. I mean, if you want to go to heaven, you go to church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I learned a little difference now from that. So,
well,
anyways,
thank you.
God bless you.
Yep. God bless you and everybody.